Columbia Workshop, under the direction of Irving Reese, presents A Matter of Life and Death by Leopold Atlas, based in part on Paul de Kreef's Why Keep Them Alive. Mr. Atlas, author of Wednesday's Child and the recent Theatre Guild production But for the Grace of God, is considered one of America's outstanding playwrights. The workshop is pleased to offer his first original radio play, A Matter of Life and Death by Leopold Atlas. In the midst of the traffic torsions and thunder of a great city stands the world-renowned Carter Institute for Medical Research. Sublimely impervious and scientifically immaculate, it stares aloofly above the squat tenements surrounding it into the distant and abstract sky. However, today, within one of its usually white and placid laboratories...
Look at him go! Hold him, hold him! Don't let him get away!
Boys, Frisky, look at that monkey go!
Hold him, hold him, hold him! Look out, Mr. Holden!
I got him, Dr. Brunlick.
Not so tightly, Doctor. You're hurting him. He's crying.
Yeah, with joy at being alive again.
Look at him. Isn't he cute?
Doctor, it worked. That serum worked.
Yeah, this proves it. This opens new vistas, new channels.
Wait until Sam Allen hears this. It was mainly his idea, injecting the serum.
Yeah. He ought to be here soon. He phoned. He'd be in by 3.
If he knew this were going to happen, he'd never have gone away on that 3-day holiday. Screeched away, you old monk. You're among the living again.
Yeah, it's a very good thing Sam went away. He needed it. He was plenty worn out.
You're telling me, Doctor. There were times when I wondered whether I ought not give him the shot in the arm instead of the monkey. It was tough work.
And brilliant work. A good head Sam has, and you too, Danny.
Thanks. Give him a lump of sugar, Miss Crawford. He deserves it. I'll bet that's Sam now.
Yeah? That is.
Right in.
Send him in. No announcement for... Sam, my boy, how are you?
Hello, Dr. Thornley.
Hello, Sam. Hello.
Dan?
Hello, Sam. Did you ever see a dead monkey eat, Sam?
Look, when did he come to, Dan?
About 10 minutes ago.
That's splendid.
Yeah. Now you boys will eat, too. Full of stuffings. Banquets, dinners, social tea. Wait till that politician in the front office, Dr. Carter, that the papers give this out. But now, first, you must begin to work. Instead of medals, ask for laboratories. Instead of dinners, ask for materials. Instead of acclaim, ask for quiet and peace to do your work.
Ivory towers, you mean, don't you?
Even quieter if possible. Yeah, now you begin to check and recheck on your laboratory experiments. Go over them and...
I'm afraid that won't be possible, Dr. Thornley.
So why not? Everything is in readiness. Your laboratory...
I'm through with laboratories for a while, Dr. Thornley. That's what I came here to tell you. I'm resigning.
Resigning? What are you saying?
I'm leaving the Carter Institute today.
Did you have some trouble? Is something wrong here?
No, here everything is perfect. Too perfect. In fact, this institute is an ivory tower of perfection. We make our experiments, formulate our serums, write our reports, publish them, and then return to our monk cells for new experiments.
What is there more for a scientist to ask, Sam?
A world more, I've just discovered. A world outside for whom we here freely make our discoveries and serums, but who never obtain them because these discoveries are kept from them.
I don't understand.
I'm just beginning to.
Sam, what has come over you? What are you? Oh, Danny Crawford, take the monkey back to the cage, will you?
Sure.
Now, Sam, what is disturbing you? What are you speaking? Resign. You have the most brilliant career ahead of you here. You have made a big discovery, my boy.
Yes, Dr. Freundlich, I have made a big discovery. And that's why I'm resigning. I stumbled around in the dark for years and regained my vision in 3 days. I made a discovery 3 days ago. It had nothing to do with monkeys and ivory towers. It had to do with life.
Hurry up, darling. It's almost 2 a.m. Let's get something of this Christmas Eve in together.
I'll be with you in just a minute, dear. I want to check up on Murgatroyd, the monk. Yeah, how are you, monkey?
Are you two still here?
Hello, Danny.
Go on, get out of here. I'll take care of Murgy.
Okay, Danny.
Imagine, Danny. I'm going to have him to myself for 3 whole days.
The pleasure's all yours. I've had enough of him. Come on now, you two. Get out before I throw you.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, you don't need to push us, Danny. We're going gladly.
See you in 3 days.
Okay, Dan. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Don't be lonely.
Not with Marcus right around.
Sweet of Danny to hold the fort while you're away.
Yeah, he's a swell guy. Gosh, I hope that monk reacts to that serum.
Now, Doc, please forget that monk. You're starting your vacation.
Oh, it's good to get a breath of cold, fresh air again.
Isn't it, though? Oh, darling, think of it. We're going to have 3 whole days together. We're free.
Yeah. For a little while anyhow, darling.
For an eternity. 3 whole days. Listen. They're singing Christmas carols in that house.
Yeah. The grand old thought.
The loveliest in all the world. I think this is the loveliest night of all the year. And you're the loveliest...
Hey, wait a minute, lady. That's my speech to you.
Then why aren't you saying it, you simple scientist?
I am. With my eyes.
Say it with your lips. I want to hear it.
All right. There. Did you hear it?
Perfectly. A little off key, though. Would you mind trying it again?
Delighted. How's that?
Much better.
Oh, there's a cab. Taxi!
Oh, no, Sam. No. You have to get into a taxi to make love to me.
Just an old college habit, darling. Of course not. But you're tired, and it's cold, and you're shivering.
You know, Sam, if you stayed away from your microbes for a little while and devoted more time to me, you'd discover that when you hold a woman in your arms and she shivers, it's not always because she's cold. That's a scientific fact.
I'll make a note of it, Professor.
Cab, sir?
No, sorry, we've changed our mind.
Okay.
I couldn't think of driving home on a night like this with the snow falling so softly and silently. The wind. Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love the sound footsteps make on the fallen snow, don't you?
You're gloriously happy tonight, darling, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be practically in love with everything.
Everything.
Why?
Because you're not the only one who's going to make his little contribution to humanity, as Dr. Freundlich had put it.
Marion!
Mm-hmm.
Sweetheart.
Oh, dearest, this is the most glorious of all possible worlds. Even those people in the car are happy for me. Everyone's happy tonight. Oh, they're driving too fast, Sam. They must be drunk. Sam, they're going to hit that woman at the corner. Look out, look out! They're going to turn over!
No, no, they're all right. They just skidded around.
Oh. Oh, they're so frightened. Look, what about that woman?
Huh?
Did they hit her? I don't see her.
Oh, I don't like to... There she is.
Where?
Coming out of the shadows of that building, see? She seems to be all right.
Sam.
Huh?
Do you recall seeing that woman on the street before the auto passed us?
No, but... Well, that black coat isn't quite conducive to...
Sam, isn't it strange?
What?
A woman walking alone at this time of the night.
No, she's probably coming home from some Christmas Eve party.
But alone? Look how slowly she walks. What's she carrying in her arm? Can you make it out?
No.
She carries it as one would carry a child.
A child at this time of night? Oh, nonsense. She's very likely taking a package of food home to her kids.
So why does she carry it with her arms forward? Like a child? Why does she? Sam, she is hurt. She's staggering.
Well, just too much Christmas cheer, I'd say.
No, no, Sam, she's hurt. Look, she's leaning against the lamppost at the corner. You can see her now in the light.
Mm.
Her eyes are closed as if she were in pain.
Yeah, but still, I'd...
Darling, let's hurry. Maybe we can help her. Sam, you speak to her.
I beg your pardon, ma'am, but my wife and I saw the car almost run you down. You aren't hurt, are you? Are you in pain?
What?
Oh, no. No, I'm all right.
That car didn't hit you, did it?
Maybe it would have been better if it did.
Don't say that. Aren't you feeling well? Sam, perhaps that bundle's too heavy for her to carry.
No, no, it isn't too heavy. I've borne it a long way and a long time. It isn't too heavy to bear now.
Here, you just...
No, no, don't touch it. Don't take it away from me.
But we're not going to take it away. We only...
No, no!
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, officer, this poor woman was almost run down by an automobile a moment ago. We saw it and wanted to know if we could be of any assistance.
Oh, wait a minute. What have you got there? Oh. Kind of late in the night to be carrying bundles around.
No, no, don't touch it. Don't take it away from me. It's all I've got.
Oh, so you're trying to hide it, are you? Well, come here, my fine girl. Let's see what you've got there.
Don't hurt her, officer.
Oh, I just want to see what she's got in that bundle, that's all. There have been several robberies around here lately.
Oh, I haven't robbed anybody.
Stand still now while I unwrap this. You've got it pretty snug, haven't you, eh? What's this? A kid,
oh,
huh?
Oh, what a pretty child.
Yeah, isn't she?
Whose kid is this, lady?
Mine.
You sure you haven't kidnapped her?
No!
Well, what on earth would you be carrying a sleeping child around for at this time of the night in this kind of weather?
She's not sleeping.
No?
She's dead.
Dead?
She's been murdered.
What's that? What are you
murdered.
Talking about?
No!
Well, easy, Marion, easy.
Now, who did it? Let me look at that kid. Say, this'll take looking into. Hey, George, pull over here. Something's up.
No, no, don't take her away from me. Don't take her away from me.
You better step inside the car now. And I'm afraid you'll have to be coming along, too.
All right, officer.
Hello, Doc. Well, what did you find?
False alarm, Lieutenant. That kid wasn't murdered.
He wasn't, you say?
No. There isn't a mark of violence, strangulation, or poisoning on the kid.
Well, that's queer.
Matter of fact, she seems to have died a perfectly natural death. Rheumatic heart. Perfectly natural.
I don't get this. What about the mother's story?
Oh, she's probably demented. Looks undernourished. The shock of her kid's death upset her mind completely.
Oh? Well, I'd better tell her. Now, listen, Mother. You listen to me. Your little girl wasn't murdered. You were mistaken, see? She died a perfectly natural death.
No. No, she was murdered, I tell you.
But the doctor here has just examined her and
no,
he tells me...
No, no! Children don't die a natural death. Children were born to live, not to die. When they die, they've been murdered.
You'd better take her down to the psychopathic ward, Lieutenant. She's in need of care herself.
Now, you better come along with me, Mother.
Children don't die natural deaths. I tell you, they're murdered.
Sam, did you hear what that poor woman cried?
Easy, darling, easy.
You folks can go now. Sorry to have detained you. Routine, you know.
That's all right. Oh, Doctor, I'm Dr. Allen, bacteriologist over at the Carter Institute.
Oh, yes. Glad to know you.
Of what exactly did that kid die?
Well, I haven't made a complete diagnosis yet, but offhand, I'd say a rheumatic heart.
But rheumatic heart can be checked, can't it?
If it's caught in time, yes.
Well, why wasn't it caught in time?
Oh, probably neglected or improper care.
Then this mother's accusation was not insane.
What do you mean?
Neglect contributory to death is murder, isn't it?
I don't quite understand.
No. Well, thank you. Come on, Marion. Time we got some sleep.
Murdered.
Heartbreak.
Oh,
dearest, this is the most glorious of all possible worlds.
Sam Jr., Sam Allen Jr., our son.
Children are born to live, not to die. Children don't die natural death.
Children are murdered.
Murdered?
Murdered?
Murdered. This will take a lot of looking into. Come on.
Children don't die natural death. Children don't die.
Children don't die. Don't die, son. Don't die.
Sam, wake up.
What is it, dear?
Oh, I've had such a frightful nightmare. That poor woman's words keep ringing through my mind.
I've been tossing around myself. Children don't die natural death. They're born to live, not to die.
Sam. Did that little girl have to die? Wasn't there any cure? Can't we find out? It'll keep preying on my mind until we do.
Roberts will know.
Who's Roberts?
An old schoolmate of mine. Devoted his life to the study of rheumatic heart. Remember having a talk with him a long time ago.
Darling, then let's go to Roberts. I want to find out, too, why children die, if there seem to be cures to save them. I want to find out for our baby's sake.
Yes.
I want him to be born in a world where children don't die shamefully and needlessly if there are cures at hand to save them. I want to know who's to blame for that little girl's death.
Roberts will know. Roberts must surely know. We'll go to him.
Yes, I know, Sam. I know this. Nearly one out of every 10 kids between 10 and 14 who dies because of rheumatic heartbreak.
How horrible.
Yes, isn't it? I'm mighty glad you came, Sam. It's high time some of you microbe hunters left your ivory-towered laboratories to find out why kids still die. Especially after you fellows have discovered the serums and vaccines and antitoxins to save them.
Have you isolated the heartbreak microbe yet?
No. But we've done something almost as good. We know the microbe's most powerful accomplice, without which he can't exist.
In other words, if you eradicated the accomplice, the microbe itself would disappear.
Correct. And scientific, Mrs. Allen. But not so easy.
Why not?
The name of the accomplice is poverty.
Poverty?
Yes. And his sidekick, malnutrition. Funny thing about my pet microbe, he's not a snob. Not he. In fact, if anything, he leans the other way. He's a regular democratic fellow. A real American, you might say. A perfect politician. He loves the poor. Loves them to death.
But you've found a cure for them, haven't you, Roberts? I seem to recall...
Better than that. A preventative.
Then why isn't it applied?
Well, it's a curious story, Mrs. Allen. When I tell you how simple the preventative is, and how we discovered it, perhaps you'll understand. For 10 years, I'd been hunting for something to destroy that microbe which we couldn't isolate. I was almost ready to throw up the sponge. And then one spring day, my nurse, Miss Farmer, and I made our inspection rounds through one of the worst sections of the slum district, inhabited mainly by Puerto Rican immigrants. I remember a hand organ was playing on the corner. And a little girl was dancing in a circle.
There's that little Montanez girl, Doctor. She dances extremely well, doesn't she?
Burning up valuable energy, that's all.
Oh, come now, Doctor. It's a lovely April day. Forget the old grouch and let that little girl enjoy herself.
Palmer, if it were in my power, I'd let that kid dance all her life long. I wouldn't suffer for worlds. But something else might.
Oh, Doctor, I'm beginning to suspect that you've got a bad case of heart trouble on the brain. Now, that's a serious disease, you know. Complications.
Ah, Senor Doctor.
Oh, hello, Montanez.
You watch my little Dolores dance?
Yes.
She danced very fine, eh?
Just like her mother when she's a young girl in Puerto Rico.
Good.
Baila, baila, muchachita.
Sí, papá.
With spirity dance like the sunny south.
Lovely.
Maybe when she grow up, she'll be a fine dancer like Joan Crawford, maybe.
Oh, I'm sure she will, Miss Martinez.
You think so, Miss Farmer?
Of course.
Gracias. In this country, the children can become anything. They... Except my Juan, he could... Ah, but my Dolores not die like him. She fine, and how you call it, peppy, like wine, eh?
What's happening?
It hurts here. Oh, it feels like...
Don't be frightened, Dolores. You'll be all right, dear.
Yes. Don't be frightened. You'll be all right.
What is it, Doctor? What is it with my little Dolores?
Have her carried upstairs. Let her rest.
I carry her, Uncle McCann.
Si, Jose. Doctor, tell me. Has she the same trouble as my Pedro?
I'm afraid so.
But she no die, Doctor. She no die.
I'll do the best I can, Montanez.
Why is it? In Puerto Rico, we never have such trouble. We are poor there, but our muchachos never break the heart. Only when they come north. It's a disease of the north.
Sam, was the birth of an idea in that old man's words.
You mean the rheumatic heartbreak is unknown in the South?
Exactly. There's something in the intense sunlight of tropical and semi-tropical countries that prevents heartbreak from getting a foothold.
But that would only prevent the disease from starting. How about those who were already stricken? Could it cure them?
That's what we were going to find out. There were some people who promised to donate some money to assist my research. With their aid, we sent 10 of the worst cases to Puerto Rico. Dolores among them.
And what happened?
They're exposed to the wind, the rain, the salt air, and most important, the sun.
They lived.
Yes, they lived. And after 6 months, the streptococci miraculously disappeared. Even the most seriously threatened of them were healed.
Oh, that was splendid, Dr. Roberts.
Yep. It was a perfect example of the power of science when armed with money.
But what did money have to do with it?
Well, after 6 months, the money so generously contributed ran out. We couldn't raise any more because of the depression. The kids had to return. Within half a year, 3 of them suffered relapses and died.
What a cruel shame.
Just a minute, Roberts. I don't get this. The depression didn't alter the temperature of the Caribbean, did it?
No. Oh, that's still nice and warm.
And there's no charge for the steadily pleasant climate of the South, is there?
Not that I know of.
And the strong, healing, hot sun. God knows no one owns that.
Absolutely not. You, that's Mr. free, too.
Then why can't these kids be kept down where they...
I told you you couldn't see the doctor.
What is it, Miss Farmer?
Well, Mrs. Smith here insists on seeing you, Doctor.
Excuse me for breaking in this way, Dr. Roberts, but I've got to hurry back to the shop or I'll be fired.
Oh, what's troubling you, Smith?
The kid, Doc. He's getting worse. Can't we do something? He's just a little fella, you know.
You're following my instructions about rest and care, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. But it ain't doing him any good. Ain't there something else we can do? There must be something, Doc.
No, not at present, Smith. Just keep following those instructions, and let's hope the boy'll outgrow his condition.
I see. Okay, Doc. Thanks. Excuse me for...
All right, Smith.
Thanks.
All right.
So what's wrong with this boy, Roberts?
Rheumatic heart.
But see here, Roberts, you've just been telling me about the powers of semi-tropical sunlight. You discovered it yourself. Why didn't you tell this man that that would probably save his kid?
Yes. Wouldn't it have been kind of me, Alan, knowing that man, knowing that he makes $12 a week and has 3 other kids to support? Wouldn't it have been kind of me to have told him to take his boy in winter in California or Florida this season?
Then merely because this man hasn't the money to take and support his family in the South, his kid must die.
Not only his kid, Sam, but there are thousands of others like him.
But God knows, Roberts, there's certainly enough steel and concrete in our land of plenty to build health centers in every county and city in America. Yes, and thousands of eager young doctors to attend them.
True. But still, the fact remains that they aren't there.
Why? What's the reason for this paradox?
I don't know, Sam. Don't ask me.
I'm just a dumb doctor who happens to have found a treatment for these kids after 10 years of tough research. I'm not an economist always yapping about sound finance.
But even in sound finance, it's cheaper to cure people than to bury them. Something must be done. Something must be done to stop the murder of our children.
What?
I don't know. But I must think about it. There must be some way. I must do something about it. That's the discovery I made in the past 3 days, Dr. Froelich. A discovery about the lives of children. And that's why the life or death of a monkey leaves me cold.
But, Sam, someday your discovery of the monkey serum may help thousands of lives.
Yes, like Robert's discovery.
Sam, you are young and patient.
No, Doctor. It's no use. I'm resigning.
Someday these remedies will be given to everybody indiscriminately.
Someday.
These things take time.
But what about the kids dying today? Dying of diseases whose deadlines have long been passed. This murder must stop, I tell you. Science is a mockery otherwise. Something must be done.
Yeah, sure.
What good is Robert's discovery doing? Who is it benefiting? Not those who need it. And I've learned that what's true of rheumatic heart is also true of diphtheria, scarlet fever, measles, tuberculosis.
But even if you tried to do something, Sam, you'd be warned against thousands.
They may ignore me, Doctor, but not the cries of their own children. Suppose if right this minute we could rig up one great microphone through which they could hear in their own homes the screams of undernourished babies dying of meningitis, or the coughing of little ones choked-chested with pneumonia, or hearts breaking with rheumatism. And suppose they knew that not one child need suffer so. That science has discovered how to prevent and cure every one of these diseases. Then they'd jump out of their complacency. They'd get up and demand that this mass murder of their children be stopped. Give the people light, and they'll find their own way. I'm going to help them find that light.
Columbia Workshop has presented Leopold Atlas's original radio drama, A Matter of Life and Death, based in part on Paul de Kreeft's book, Why Keep Them Alive. Mr. Atlas is the author of two well-known stage successes, Wednesday's Child and the recent Theatre Guild production, But for the Grace of God. A Matter of Life and Death was produced under Irving Reese's direction. The Columbia Workshop is an experimental dramatic laboratory which was established to explore the dimensions of the oral play, to try new techniques in their presentation, to encourage new writers for the medium. Your cooperation and interest helps us considerably in determining the success or failure of these experiments. The workshop welcomes your suggestions, criticisms, and comments on its program. If you have a favorite story which you think would lend itself to unusual dramatization, write to Irving Reese, director of the Columbia Workshop, care of the Columbia Network, New York City. Tune in next week for another workshop presentation. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.